talk to you this morning. I've got all kinds of different things that I looked at and I learned from, but one woman stood out to me in my studies looking at motherhood. And I really liked this woman. If you would, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Should keep Lily in prayer because she's going to be facing some hard times with her husband's family. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. To some people, Mother's Day is only for children to honor their moms when they're young. But look at your Bible. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says this. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, listen to him, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The commandment to honor your mother and your father is all the days of your life and her life. You should honor your mom even when she gets old. I want to honor moms this morning. I want to try to help you. I want to talk to you about a restored mother. The book of Ruth is about a woman who is an alien, a foreigner, doesn't belong to God's people. And the book of Ruth is primarily about this woman named Ruth. But I don't know why, but I began to look at all the different moms in the Bible, and when I read about Naomi and I started to read the book of Ruth again, I saw that it was about the redemption of Naomi as much as it was about Ruth. And it blew me away. I'm only going to give you one message. I got two out of this. I'm only going to give you one, and this is the restored mom of Naomi. Now, before I start, I want to talk about Mother's Day because moms are pretty important. And you turned into a mom when you automatically double knot everything you tie. And that's when you know you're a mom. When you find yourself humming the Barney song as you do the dishes, you know you're a mom. When you hear a baby cry in the grocery store, you start gently swaying back and forth and your children are at school. You actually start to like the smell of strained carrots mixed with applesauce. You find yourself crying when you're watching Dumbo and when his mom is taken away. Bambi just destroys you. You know you're a mom. You'll find yourself out for a nice romantic meal with your husband enjoying real adult conversation when suddenly you realize you reached over and you've started to cut up his steak for him. You know you're a mom when you do those things. Moms are an amazing people. Somebody once said the phrase, working mother, is redundant. It's repetitive, working mother. They're both hardworking terms. Somebody said this, and I like this, the moment a child is born, a mother also is born. She never existed before. Oh yes, the woman existed, but the mother, never. A mother is something absolutely new at the birth of her child. If you have a mom, now this one's great. If you have a mom, there is nowhere you are likely to go where her prayer has not already been. That is a good thought. This is another one. Somebody said this, a mother always has to think twice. Once for herself and then once for her child. Here's my favorite. Here's a grandma on the plane. For 2 solid hours, this lady was sitting next to a man on the airplane and was telling her about her grandchildren. She even produced a plastic fold-out photo album of all 9 of her children and grandchildren. She finally realized that she had dominated the entire conversation about her grandchildren. Oh, I've done all the talking. I'm so sorry. I know you certainly have something to say. Please tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren? Yeah, that's a mom. Any grandma. Now, the Bible is full of amazing people called mothers. The mother of all living is named Eve. Now, she must have had a hard time because she had no role model to help her. Then there is Sarah. She was the mother of many nations. She had a husband who kept talking to her about God giving them loads of children, and she was turning up to 90. That's tough, amen. Then there's a woman named Rebecca. That was Isaac's wife, and Isaac was the son of Sarah who had a child at 90, and Rebecca, she had a hard time trying to fill her mother-in-law's shoes. Hannah, such a woman. She was a woman of such great faith, but her faith was forged in the fires of such great sorrows. She became a great mom. Bathsheba. Yes, she is known as the mother of the wisest man who ever lived. What was his name? Solomon. But don't forget, she still carried the scars of an adulterous relationship and a child that had died just after birth. And yet she turned out to be a great mom. How about Mary, the mother of Jesus? You ought to read and study her life, as told in the Bible, not in the storybooks, by the way. Her life and all her children, she had at least 7, by the way, starting with Jesus. Her life will teach you about trusting God and being a godly mom. Then there's a woman named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. Can you imagine having a baby who yelled from the moment he woke up and he preached and he just had this booming voice and she had to keep him quiet and train him. And he became great, John the Baptist. And I believe he was great not only because of the Holy Spirit, but because of a great mom. The Timothy, he had a great mom and grandmother. Lois and Eunice influenced his life so greatly that he was greatly used of God. But this morning, I want to talk on this special Mother's Day about the life of a mother whose life was pretty messed up. And yet God restored. Even when it looked hopeless. I want to talk about Naomi. Now, she's Ruth's mother-in-law. And yet, her relationship to Ruth was better than having 10 sons, the Bible says. Let's get down here. Being a mother is not easy. Never has been easy. It should be, but it never is. I want to say that God designed mothers to succeed. But you're only going to do it with God's help. Supermoms really don't exist where they wear, you know, leotards and tight boots and go flying around at night and rescuing bad children. God designed mothers to succeed as mothers, but only with His help. And that's what Naomi learns, and really, I hope that's what every mom in this room learns today. Father, would You please help us as we look through the pages of Your Word, that we would hear Your voice, and You'd let us, all of us, learn. And God, I pray You'd change us. Don't let us give up. Don't let us be discouraged. And it is so easy. But Lord, let us find the strength and the courage and the difference in Jesus, who conquered death, who defeated all defeats and every disaster. Lord, we look to You now and teach us and help me help so many people this morning in Jesus' name. Let's go back to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. You find Joshua, then Judges, then the little book called Ruth. Let's start with looking at Naomi's troubles. Naomi's troubles, chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice as we read that the Bible is not one of those happily ever after books, but that it will show human life with all its sorrows and scars. When you look in the Bible, you're looking into the lives of real people and their real problems. Look at Ruth. But we don't start off with Ruth, we start off with Naomi. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. What's so special about Bethlehem? That's where Jesus is going to be born. That there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Or Chilion, whichever one you want to call them. These were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman, Naomi, was left of her two sons and her husband. So Naomi's got some troubles. She's got some family problems. She didn't marry the most spiritually minded man, first off. Elimelech was an Israelite. He lived in Judah, which was the best place to live. But a famine spread throughout the land, as it sometimes did. It's done it here in Ireland in the past. It goes through all economies. Famine went throughout the land, and Elimelech got scared. So he fled Israel for a neighboring country called Moab to find work and food. Now, if you want to know where Moab is, kind of a not-so-great map, but this is Judah here, and this is the country of Israel, along here the Mediterranean Sea. This is Jerusalem's up here. And this is, if you can imagine, this is Judah. This is where the Philistines lived along the coast. But on the other side of the Dead Sea is a kingdom of Moab. So they went up probably through Jericho, because this path is through such desolate areas, almost impassable. Went around through Jericho and came down and lived in a neighboring country called Moab. This was not the will of God. It is not where God's people are supposed to go, even when they're in trouble. Abraham had a problem, however. Don't go too hard on Elimelech, because Abraham did almost the same thing when a famine came through the promised land. Where did he flee? Down to Egypt. Even Abraham's son Isaac, when another famine went through, Isaac got scared and ran. Famine's no fun. All right? Yet sometimes we forget that God has promised to take care of us. We've got to be careful how we react to problems. If only we would trust Him. The problem was, Elimelech died. That was some trouble. That was her husband. That was her livelihood. That was her future was now gone. So she finds herself living in Moab, and her sons decide to marry two Moabite girls. Now, Moab was a pagan nation filled with ungodly people. They worshiped wicked, false gods. I will not even describe how wicked these gods were. The people of Moab were called the people of Chemosh, and Chemosh was a wicked, ungodly, idolatrous god that demanded human sacrifice, demanded children to be given in death so that their crops would survive. There are still lots of cultures that are like that. It wasn't the most spiritually blessed place in the world. It was where Elimelech wanted to live. They raised their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, there, and they married two Moabite girls. Be careful who your kids hang around with, because they will marry who they hang around with. It's easy to fall in love with anybody. They weren't supposed to do that either. These two boys were interested, yes, in having wives, but were not interested in having a home. Because you can get you a girlfriend, but you better find somebody who will stick with you through thick and thin and who has the same heart. Most people are only interested in the same flesh, or they're interested in compatible flesh, but they have no idea they'll be compatible in the same heart. God commanded His people to only marry people who feared and obeyed God. The same is true of believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." The yoking is this picture of putting two people together and binding them, locking them in and saying, now, you not only have to get along, you have to work together, and you don't put two different kinds of people together who go different directions, they'll self-destruct. You cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. These boys fell in love with the girls they hung around with. Be careful who your children hang around with. Your kids will hate you when they're young, because you'll say, sorry, not with them. Sorry, not hanging with them. But later on, they'll love you. It doesn't stop there. It says, both of Naomi's two sons died. It doesn't tell us how, and it really doesn't matter how. The fact is, they're dead. The fact is, her husband's dead. The fact is, her two sons are dead. Her whole future, she could have at least been been taken care of by her two sons, but now they're both gone. She's alone. She's been away from home for 10 long, wasted years out of the will of God, and all she has to show for those 10 years are two pagan daughter-in-laws. Let me just say this. In this life, no one escapes the scars of life. King David, with everything going for him, he experienced such sorrow and scarring from the troubles in his own home, and especially brought on out of his own heart. He says, though it be not so with my family, yet I know that I'm okay with God. He realized around his table there were people who did not even know the God that he worshipped. And he says, it's not right with everybody in my family, but I know I'm okay. But it was a grief to him. There were so many scars. Adam and Eve discovered the cost of their own stubborn rebellion one day when they learned of the murder of their own son Abel, murdered by their son Cain. You see, do not get this idea that there are all these pretty, happy women who have no problems. There are these moms that have no problem children. There are these... You watch too much television thinking that all of these people have so much money and so much going for them, they're just as messed up as we are. They have scars you don't want to know about. God shows us a woman here who has followed her husband, who has gone away from God, who has gone 10 years down, 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 and he says, that's where we're going to start. We're going to start a book, and we're going to start and we're going to help her out, God says. We're going to redeem this mom who has lost everything. Aren't you glad God starts with a mess? Now, Naomi's defeated. Look at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Sometimes you've got to make a decision to get away from some things. Amen. It's not just coming to church. You need to get away from sin sometimes. Moab was a place to get away from. For she had heard that over in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread, taking care of them, like he promised. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. They're going with her. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Talking about her sons. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. It was hard. They had become family. And they said unto her, surely we will go with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go home. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. I should say I have a hope. If I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them? Would ye wait for my children to grow up and marry them? Till they were grown, would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes. She's already grieving for her loss of her family. She says, now I can't bear to see you go without husbands. Watch this. For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But look at verse 14. But Ruth clave unto her. Wow. Now, Naomi's defeat. Naomi finally accepts defeat. 10 years. She first lost her husband. She didn't go home. Her sons married two Moabite women, and things get going all right, and then they die, and she doesn't go home. It takes 10 years, and aren't we stubborn? Don't we wait until absolutely everything has gone from our hands, from our lives, before we finally say, man, I gotta go back. I gotta get right. Isn't that awful? Sometimes you'll hand out the gospel to somebody. Sometimes you'll witness to them. You'll beg them to come to church. You'll beg them to consider getting saved. And you just step back and you realize, I guess they're going to have to go down. That's what happens. Well, it happened here. But I don't think it should happen. Amen? I think we ought to quickly go, hey, what am I doing? Why waste any more days?
If I can get right to God, if I can get right with God today, I should, amen?
Naomi's defeated. She hears that God has blessed Israel. It's kind of funny. She left Israel because there's a famine, but she finds out, wow, everything's going back, going okay over there. You know what? Some people are too stubborn to admit they made the wrong decision in leaving. Amen. It's a good man, it's a godly woman who will say, you know what, in my stubbornness, I made this decision and I was stupid and I'm going back to where I should be. Amen. Don't wait until you've lost everything. She hears that God has blessed Israel, so she heads home. Amen. But there's a problem. There are two young ladies there along. And really, when you're troubled, you want to be alone, don't you? Amen? You say, go on back. She's being real kind, but she's saying, just leave me alone. I like how she didn't blame anybody. She pushes them away, but she's not blaming them or Moab, or she's just saying, the Lord has dealt with me. Wow. But there's something else that happens. When she pushes them away, she actually prays for them. What a great thing to do. These are pagan girls who don't seem to know the God of Israel. And she says, I'm going to pray for you. And that's very important because we're going to see this thing come up in another moment. Because there is a character in Naomi that is going to affect Ruth. Now, Orpah walks away and she heads home. You never hear from Orpah again. And this is a good start, because at least she wants to start over, amen. Too many people I talk to, they've already set their course, they're already stubborn, they're already too proud, and it's impossible for them to look and say, is it really possible I can start over? You mean I can start over again? But I started over already 30 times this last year. Amen. Did you know? The Lord starts over with us every day. Every day He starts over with us. Why should it be so hard for us to start over? It's a good start. She's focused on getting back into the will of God. That's a good thing to start with, amen? You may not know where God's perfect will is, but you know the direction of it, don't you? She starts to pray for people instead of only complaining about her problems. Wow. I wonder if you spend more time praying for others instead of complaining about your life, I wonder how much God could help you. You know, God's going to use all this for her benefit. Now, this is what really blew me away. This is what attracted me to this book and to Naomi, because Naomi had an effect on Ruth. Look there in verse 14, it says, but Ruth clave unto her, to cleave, to cling to. She's not letting this old woman leave. Not letting her go alone. Naomi has had 10 years of hard, painful memories. And as she turns away from her two daughters-in-law, she overlooks the fact that there was a Ruth there that wouldn't leave. Ruth is going to demonstrate just how much Naomi had affected her for good. Evidently, maybe probably without even knowing it, Naomi had taught Ruth 6 invaluable lessons. And you're going to see that in the life of Ruth. Look down there in verse 15 now. This is Naomi talking, and she said, behold, talking to Ruth, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. And unto her what? Gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. What does she think about Naomi? She says, you still are into your idols, aren't you? Return now after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't ask me to go. Don't ask me to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people are going to be my people. And I love this. And thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking unto her. I saw six things in there. Naomi, without even realizing it, taught this pagan girl, and really, don't you get the idea? Sometimes we watch television, sometimes we read books, and we think that everybody's good. Let me tell you, if it weren't for the influence of that book, if it weren't for the influence of Jesus Christ on this world would be headhunting, would be abortion, would not be the limit. There would be euthanasia starting at 3 years old. And I've thought about it sometimes. I want you to understand, pagan people, people without God, are different. See, you step out of America and you go to some of these countries that have not had the gospel, and your life is in danger from the very moment you sit down in there, because all they know how to do is survive. And they will kill you to survive. So she's looking at this Moabite girl, and all of a sudden this Moabite girl tells her what she's learned from Naomi. Watch. The first thing she's taught her is about love. It says, but she clave to her. You know what love is? Yes, it's an emotion. But love is a choice. It says, I'm not letting you go. Amen. I don't care if you want to leave. I will not let you go. That's love. Amen. We've got this idea, love is only an emotion. God help you, because your emotion will change. You better grab that person who you say that you love and never let them go. There is such a need for us to have... What does the Bible say? Genesis 2, verse 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Amen. Naomi, without even realizing it, taught Ruth about love. I wish that every mom in here realized just how much they're teaching their children what love really is. I said it before, it says the greatest thing that a man can teach his children is the greatest thing a man can do for his children, let me say it that way, is to love his wife. But the same is also true, that one of the greatest things that a mom can influence her children, and you better believe that they're watching you, is to love her husband and not talk bad about him. It doesn't come naturally. Also taught about mentoring and discipleship. It says, I will follow after you. What does that mean? I'll do like you do. I'll go where you go. Your kids are watching and doing what you do. And you know what? They're going to do the bad things normally you do. They're going to copy, pick those up. You better put in some good things for them to copy. Amen. Naomi taught her about mentoring and discipleship. Ruth wanted to be like Naomi. She said, I don't want to be like my sister-in-law anymore. Oh, that every woman learned that discretion and meekness and quietness and submission has to be passed on to children, because they don't have it naturally. Naomi taught Ruth about God's people. She said, your people are going to be my people now. There's something special that God puts his hand upon your people, Naomi. Naomi never was ashamed of Israel. Hey, don't you be ashamed of God's people even when they don't do right. They're God's people. Convey the right attitude about God's people right here. When you go home, don't you dare talk bad about who was at church and who wasn't at church. Your kids will listen to that and pick it up and remember it. Amen. Evidently, Naomi had such an influence, even though she's out of the will of God, even though she's not walking with God, even though she's in a strange land, she's losing everything, evidently, she honored God's people. She had some good things going for her. I really believe, I'm going to say this in a moment, she also honored the God of Israel. Evidently, Naomi had a relationship with her God that amazed Ruth. To Ruth, gods were stone. Gods never talked to them. Gods never helped them. To them, to Ruth and to pagans, they do everything for God. They carry them. They feed them. They wash them. But their gods never do anything for them. And yet, here was Naomi talking about a God who loved them and who had intervened on their behalf and who took care of them and called himself their father. Never knew that. Naomi would pray, and Ruth would see her pray, even when empty and defeated. Naomi showed Ruth that Jehovah was not the same as other gods. I wish I could just stand on this for a minute. Because she said, your God is not like the gods I grew up with. And it's true, because there is a movement right now to make Allah the same as Jehovah. I got news for you, they're not the same. To make Buddha's teaching the same as Jesus' teaching. They're not the same. Heaven is not the same as Nirvana. Jehovah is not the same as Shiva and Vishnu in the Hindu religion. Jesus is not the same as Muhammad. By the way, the Bible is not the same as any other book on this planet. You better realize the God of Israel's the God to focus on. Jesus said to the woman at the well, ye worship, you know not what. We know what we Jews know we worship because salvation is of the Jews. I've got a Jewish book, not an English book, called the Bible. She also taught her about confidence. She said, I don't care where you die, I'm ready to die with you. I will be buried. She's not afraid of death anymore. I want to point out that in spite of all of Naomi's problems and failures, she had some things right. You know, if you've had a bad day, people need to be able to look at you and see, yes, some tears, yes, some discouragement, yes, some defeat, but they ought to hear you say, but man, death has no hold over me. If you died, if I died in the morning and you buried me, I'd be in a better place. Amen. There's a confidence she gave to Ruth. One other thing, commitment. There back there in verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go, she left off speaking with her. I wish some moms got steadfast in one direction, because that will influence the next generation. Our kids, by the time they're 15, 16, 17, might as well wave bye-bye. And when they walk out and don't follow God and don't worship God and don't worry about their Bible, the one person to blame is staring you in the face in the mirror. It's us. They will mimic us. Our hypocrisy, our reality is what they see. But Naomi influenced Ruth to stay steadfast. I like that. She had those things right. What are you teaching without even thinking about it? You don't sit down with your children and pull up a table and stand up and with a blackboard and point one, point two. That's not how you teach. You teach by your life. Be careful how you teach. Naomi had an effect on Ruth. Third, fourth, Naomi started over. Verse 19. So they too went on until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved against them. And they said, is this Naomi? After 10 years, they went, that looks like, could that be? Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very, what's the next word? Is God ever bitter with us? No. That's her own word. That's how she feels. The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Naomi means pleasant, full. She says, I'm empty. She actually admits to being bitter. I'm going to point that out in a minute. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, guess who's with her? And Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Naomi starts over, and I believe it's the hardest thing to do. You say, Brother Ledbetter, don't you find it easy? Nope. I don't find it easier than any one of you. Yet God starts over with us. A lot of people won't get right with God. They won't get right with their husbands or with their wives or with their parents or even with their pastor. Not because they can't get right, but because they find it hard. It's hard to say, I'm sorry, isn't it? It's hard to say, I made a stupid decision. I said something wrong and I want to own up to it and I want to make it right. It's hard. But notice how God gave Naomi, I want you to understand, I want you to wake up to the fact that God blessed Naomi when she decided to get right. God gave her somebody to help her get right. Somebody she wanted to throw away. She almost got rid of the greatest blessing in her life. Ruth. She saw Ruth as somebody who would never understand, but Ruth already understood more than Naomi. And your children, your husband, your sister, your brother, somebody in your life may be your Ruth watching you and one day may come along and be the greatest strength you'll ever need. Don't throw away the people in your life just because you don't understand them or because you don't have it all figured out or because you're down and depressed and discouraged and you just feel like throwing everybody away. Don't you do that. There are people in your life, there are people in this church that right now may not mean much to you, but next week, next month, next year, they may be the only thing that will keep you together. God gave Naomi a Ruth. What a gift. Our children, the people that we naturally get up with, we go along with, your parents, the people that you can't wait to get away from, they may be your strength, and they probably will be one day. Don't throw them away. Naomi starts over. Do you have any children that are still at home? You better start over with them and make sure things are right. Things are good. Do you still have a husband? You need to start over with him every day. You still have your mom or your dad? Start over with them and look at them and go, you know what? This person is God's gift to me. Don't be proud. Don't be too proud to say to them that you need them. And you need their help to do right. Why does God give a man a wife? To help him. Amen? Why does God give a woman a husband? We don't know. Some of you enjoyed that. Naomi accepts, and this is probably the biggest part of this portion of the message. Naomi accepts two big things, two big facts in her life. She accepts God's judgment against her decisions. And you know, God is right. And if God deals with you about some decision or some path that you've gone, then go, yes, sir. No excuse. But nothing. And the second thing she accepts is the fact that she was bitter. Too many people live out too many years of life not accepting the fact that bitterness has filled their heart and ruined their lives and even their future. Bitterness is our hugest, biggest poison we drink in every day. This one scripture is most important. We have to conquer the bitterness that reigns in our hearts if we're ever going to get back into the will of God. Bitterness is so easy to start, it is next to impossible to stop. First thing you got to do is admit it. If Naomi is going to start over, she has to accept her past. And you know what she accepts? God was there. Amen. Don't sit there and look back and say, where was God? Where was God? He was there. You're going to have to look at the fact and take some of the responsibility for some of your decisions. But she also is going to have to accept her bitter attitude was just as wrong as a sinful action. Sometimes we only think physical words or physical acts are bad, but words are just as bad, and attitudes are just as bad as sinful thoughts. Have you accepted those two things? Have you looked in your past and said, oh, I hate my past? Why would you do that? Why don't you look at it and go, well, God was there and he fixed my little red wagon, we say. I don't know what the equivalent of that is. God got me. And I accept it. And you need to look in your heart and see just how much bitterness is in control and not Jesus Christ. This woman is simply humbled. I like this. Broken and sorry. I like that. She doesn't waste her time going around to everybody saying, it was Elimelech's fault that I left. I was following my husband. I went over here and did what he said. Liar. You have no idea what's going on. You don't know if she is the one that's sort of agreeing. The fact is this. Instead of the Bible saying that the problem was Elimelech, instead of the Bible saying that the problem was Naomi, because the Bible does not say that the problem was all of the advertising about Moab for people to come over and live over there, she instead says, I'm not going to believe anybody but me. Would you agree that's a good place to start? I'm sure Elimelech's probably the biggest problem in this thing, but he's dead. How can you blame him anymore? Amen? She's just humbled, broken, and sorry. It probably looks like this is the end of so many wasted years. But in God's sight, this is the beginning. Naomi begins a second chance in chapter 2. And I'll read down to verse 17. It looks like a lot, but I want you to see these things. As God showed me, and I hope it opens your eyes to some great things. Naomi has a second chance. More than anything, I want you to see that God is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth. Aren't you glad? Look in chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her, a relative of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Isn't that funny? I thought there was a famine. How could anybody have money after a famine? Evidently, it wasn't so bad over back there. They just got scared and they got out of the will of God. God still took care of Elimelech's family. But watch this. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi. Now watch. Ruth is the one who starts this. She said unto Naomi, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. I just want, who's ever field, I want to find out if somebody will let me gather corn. She said to her, go, my daughter. And I believe that Naomi's still very depressed. She's still sitting at home. She's still discouraged. She's back in Israel, but she doesn't know what to do. And you know what Ruth says? I better go get us some food. And Ruth has got, I want to go ahead and tell you, she's got some courage. Look at verse 3. She went and she came gleaning in the field after the reapers. So the reapers are going and gathering up the wheat and the barley. And she comes along and she picks up the scraps. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto a guy named Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, she doesn't plan this. She doesn't know any of this. She just happens to be in his field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a what? Now, I want you to understand, she doesn't belong there. She's hanging with Jewish guys and Jewish girls, and they're like, keep your distance. Stay away from me. Stay back. And Boaz comes up and says, you hang right with them. Now, verse 11, and Boaz answered and said to her, it hath been fully showed me. Now this is, verse 11 is very important. I believe Ruth was probably very beautiful. Alright? Because he's taking notice of her. But this is why Boaz was so attracted to this young lady. Boaz answered and said, this is why he's so attentive, why he even takes notice of her. It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. I heard what you've done for Naomi. I've heard how you've encouraged her, how you stuck with her. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, pay you back, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean, let her alone, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. She's going to end up gathering stuff from the baskets and from all of the stuff that's been gathered by the professional reapers. Verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. There's so many messages in this, it's not funny. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until when? And she beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley, which is a big basket. Now here's the points. Naomi starts a second chance, and God is the God of second chances. Through Ruth, Naomi is going to experience a second chance to be a mom. Naomi is going to have a second chance to be a mom through Ruth. Up until this very moment, Naomi has believed that her days of being a mom are over. Her two sons are dead. Her husband is dead. She's an older woman. She says, I can't, there's nothing more for me. I am at the end of my days. I have no more chance to be a mom. But you can through Ruth. She had no idea what God was going to do and how God was going to restore this woman, Naomi. Yes, Ruth is being redeemed. Ruth is a Moabite, somebody who's being brought into the people of God. But don't forget that Naomi is going to be redeemed here too. This mom, who was ruined as a mom, is about to be restored. Ruth is different. She's got some courage. She's willing to work alongside some workers who didn't want her working with them. Hey, I need some Christians who will work on the job as a Christian. And have some courage on the job. I need some Christian teenagers who at school will have some courage to take their Bible with them and be Christian at school. Even though everybody else is a certain way and they're doing their own thing, you work for the Lord. She had some courage. She had some beauty. And again, like I said, she had some physical beauty, I don't doubt. But her beauty was her kindness to her mother-in-law. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, Ladies, don't adorn yourself with the plaiting of hair and with jewels and fancy clothes. What's the best beauty a man will ever notice? According to 1 Peter chapter 3, the inner man, a meek and a quiet spirit in a woman, shouts beautiful to a real man. Maybe not to some scum bucket that you're looking at. But a real man takes notice of a woman who is feminine and has a character. She's not a pushover. She's not just somebody's doll. She's a real woman, but she has a feminine spirit about her that has courage and has beauty from the inside out. We've almost lost that. She has humility. I mean, when she's offered something, she's not up there demanding her rights and demanding that she has equal pay and equal time and equal this and equal that. You know what she says? When she's allowed to come in, she's grateful to be able to take the scraps. She's grateful to be able, she just got to get some bread, bring it home, and she's grateful to be able to be there. And you know, God will not bless His people until we start to be grateful like she was. For the thing, you say, I don't have much. Are you thankful? I think God's stripping everything out of Europe, pulling it all away. It's being sucked into China. It's being sucked into all these different places. Let it go. Let's learn to be grateful for what we have instead of discontent like we used to be 2-3 years ago. humility. And when Boaz says, you go right ahead and do this, she said, but who am I? Why would you give this to me? You need to wake up and realize how good God has been to you, and you look up to Him and say, God, who am I? Why are you doing this for me? You know, the only reason why God's so good to us? Because of Jesus Christ in our life. Humility. Ruth is different. Her faith. You know what? He says this. Look down there in verse, I love it. Where is it? Verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You've trusted now our God. She's got some faith that Elimelech didn't have. She has more faith than Elimelech's two sons have. She's got more faith than Naomi has. And God's praising and lifting up this Ruth and saying, Ruth is different. And because of Ruth, Naomi's going to have a second chance. Ruth is a benefit to Naomi. What is Naomi doing? She's sitting at home sulking. What's Ruth doing? She's making dinner. Isn't it nice when you're down and somebody goes and makes you dinner? Amen. Gentlemen, it's every day. Here, all those kids go, my mom, why is your mom so special? She cooks for me. I mean, 35 kids, they all have the same. She washes my clothes. You know, moms are a benefit, aren't they? You know, there's somebody in your life, you don't even realize it, but they're a benefit to you because they just get up and they minister. Usually it's mom. But here is Naomi. I mean, here is Ruth, because Naomi doesn't have anything to give anymore. Aren't you glad when God just brings somebody in your life and just blesses you and meets the need and you just... And this woman's different. Hard work. She works from... I mean, the man's there. When Boaz says, who's this woman over here? And the guy says, she's been here since before sunup. And she worked until sundown. That's at least 12 to 14 hours. Let me say this. Not a man alive who doesn't have a wife who wouldn't like to marry a woman like this. I'm going to say this. I got a Ruth over there. Hear about dear Job one day. I heard Boaz. I read a comic. Boaz up there saying, anybody seen Ruth? Anybody seen Ruth? And it says he was calling ruthlessly. You didn't get it. Anyway, Ruths don't just happen. Girls like that don't just pop out of the oven. Do you understand? That was Naomi's effect on her. Ruth is a special kind of girl. We're trying to make some Ruths here in this church. Sunday school is trying to help you help your kids. We're trying to raise up and develop some Ruths. Godly men of integrity don't just show up either. We need our young people to be influenced, molded, and taught no matter the cost. And Naomi could finally see a light at the end of the tunnel. Naomi was seeing how God was bringing Ruth and Boaz together and how God would ultimately restore Naomi. So we're not going to go through chapter 3, but chapter 3 has Naomi and Ruth beginning to seek God's will through all of their past and troubles, and they learn that nothing is wasted when God is in control. Naomi's being encouraged by Ruth. Let me show you Naomi's redemption. Two more points and we're through. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Naomi's redemption. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and he sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit you down here, and they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, thought to invite you, saying, buy it before the inhabitants. And before the elders of my people, if thou wilt, watch this word, what's the next word? Redeem, beautiful word. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, oh, I'll redeem it. Then said Boaz, by the way, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. It'll upset all my plans. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner of former time in Israel concerning redeeming, concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day, that I have bought, I love this, all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Kilian's and Mahan's of the hand of Naomi. Now, go down to verse 13. Let me finish this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer. Who's the he? Boaz. He shall be a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her own bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Ruth. Is that what it says? She said, Naomi's got another son. That's Ruth's child, isn't it? But Naomi's got another family now, doesn't she? And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Let's just look through this. What is going on here? 10 years earlier, Elimelech owned a lot of land, and there was a lot of debt, and he was supposed to be paying on it across the last 10 years. But for the last 10 years, where has he been? He has been out of the will of God. He's fled from the famine. He was worried about expenses and finances. And so he found himself in Moab, and he dies. Chilion and Mahlon have died as well. No payments have been made on the mortgage. So when Naomi does go back, there's a banker and a lawyer waiting there. What is Naomi going to do? All she can do is eat scraps from all of the field after the reapers have gone through. She has no money. Again, she didn't realize she had a Ruth, and she didn't realize there was a Boaz about to come into her life. Isn't God good? Naomi owed a large debt. And if she didn't do something about it, she would end up in jail. So a cousin of Elimelech, she needed someone to redeem all her debts. And so a cousin of Elimelech was first interested. I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell you. Well, I can't, because it would be a whole other message. There's a whole other level here, and I want to say it real quick. This is, let me just say this, because this is too good to miss. Ruth is a Moabite, yes, but she's not of Israel. She's not of Israel. She's not a descendant of Abraham. What does that make her? Gentile. Now, Boaz is a Jew. Boaz, to redeem Naomi, has to include Ruth. There was somebody who was capable of stepping in and purchasing that debt and paying it off, but it would have ruined his inheritance. Brother Dan, that's the law. The law could not fix Naomi and Ruth's debt. It would have ruined God's righteousness to have had to have made a law for people to try to be perfect and to pay off their sins. So the law could not pay it. So Boaz, to fix Naomi's problem, has to buy Ruth's debt too. So in order for God to fix Israel's sins, he has to fix the whole world's sins. He has to pay off every Gentile's debt too. Is that a good message? You're in here, we're the Ruths. All right? Naomi's a picture of Israel influencing Ruth. Israel has been an influence on the Gentile nations all throughout history. And they don't even realize it, but that's just a whole other message. I just had to say that. All right, now. Somebody had to redeem her debts. A near kinsman, cousin, was at first interested, but then he refuses. Up steps a guy named Boaz. And Boaz marries Ruth. Yay, it's the end of a happily married, happily ever after story. Not yet. Because Ruth's not the only focus of this. Through this, he redeems Naomi. I want you to see, when Jesus Christ died for the whole world, he died for Israel too. He redeemed Israel. This is such a big concept. I want you to understand, when this picture comes up, God working through so many different ways just to save you took a lot of work. Amen? So when he marries Ruth, Boaz redeems Naomi, and he gave Naomi a family again. Ruth turns out to be better than 10 sons to Naomi, doesn't she? That's why I love the Bible stories over all the world stories, because they're true. And they actually work. But look at the legacy. In verse 17, it says this. At the end of it says, "And they called his name Obed, for he was the father of Jesse." The father of David? Wow. Now, these are the generations of Perez, going back in time through the genealogy. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Did you notice the last verses? This new baby that Naomi's got holding her hand here, which is Ruth's, is named Obed, and Obed means a servant. I like that. Later, Obed grows up and has a baby named Jesse. That's okay. Jesse later on grows up and has 8 boys. And the last son, not the first, not the smartest, not the greatest, not the strongest, but the last son, the runt kid, is David. And he grew up to be Israel's greatest king. God did all that for Naomi. Naomi, in heaven right now, rejoices over the fact that she came home. That she kept Ruth. That she woke up to the fact that she actually influenced Ruth. And Ruth then turned out to be the best and the greatest blessing back to Naomi. It's amazing what God can do with a messed up, broken life like Naomi's. Amen? I think it's brilliant. See, too many moms have this fairy tale life that they dream and they yearn for, and it's never there, and so they are discouraged and defeated. Let me tell you, God takes our real lives and He does something wonderful with them. Even when you have a backslidden, ungodly husband, even when things fall apart and people die and things don't work out right and nothing seems to get done, even when you find yourself away from God and you don't know what to do, you do know what to do. You need to humble yourself and at least face in the right direction and say, "Lord, I want to come home." I guarantee you, if you want it to get right, God will help you. God will help you. Here's the application. 3 points. We're like Naomi. Messed up. We go out forward, just like the prodigal son. We get 20, 21, 22, 23. We get some money in our hands, money burning in our pockets, and we head out and we think the world is ours to capture. About 10 years later, we come back with the tail between our legs and we're empty. Amen? We're just like Naomi. Boaz is like Jesus. Boaz is willing to take all of our debt. Actually, Jesus is. Boaz was willing to take all of Naomi and Ruth's debt, and Jesus took all of our debt, didn't he? Boaz is just like Jesus. But here's a challenge. Poor Orpah. Don't be like Orpah. And when it gets a little hard to stay with Naomi, it gets a little hard to stay in your old King James Bible, it gets a little hard to stay with the long-winded preacher, don't say, "Parting is such sweet sorrow." Let me tell you, Orpah missed out. She could have gone home with Naomi, couldn't she, too? Don't be like Orpah. In spite of all your troubles, what do you need to do? I'm going to ask you this morning to start over. I'm going to ask you to think for a minute. In spite of all your family's problems, in spite of all your good-for-nothing husbands, say amen. In spite of all the disasters that you've experienced, in spite of all the scars that you carry, in spite of giving up over and over again, I'm going to ask you to start over. That's step one. Want to start over, man. Want to be in the middle of God's will. I don't want to talk to my sons or my daughters and say, get into God's will, and they just continue to go away from God. Let me tell you, I don't want to say to you, get into God's will, and 10 years from now find out how much you've lost and wasted. I'd like you to do it today. I'd like you to ask God, God, what is your perfect will for me? I don't want to go all the way of Naomi and then have to have you fix and patch it up. Let me say this, you might end up being like Elimelech and not have a second chance. I'm glad for every Naomi who comes home, but not everybody comes home. Today I'm going to ask you to start over. That means asking God, God, what is your perfect will for my life? Where do I fit? What am I to be? Yeah, I know I'm a mother, or yes, I know I'm a husband, yes, I know I'm a dad. But what is it that you designed me to be? Look around for the Ruth in your life. The Ruth in your life may be, man, teenager, maybe John. Know who John's Ruth is. We all know who John's Ruth is. Look around, see who your Ruth is. Dan, you're sitting next to your Ruth. I got my Ruth. Look around. You say, I don't have a Ruth. You know what? Maybe they just haven't popped their head up yet, but you're influencing people every day. Make sure you're putting out good influence. Influence people for good, and one of these days they'll come back and go, that's my Ruth. That's the one I needed. It's the one I need to lean on. Amen? Look for the Ruth in your life. Deal with the blame and the bitterness. If you find yourself blaming and justifying and finding fault, you need to slap yourself or let me do it. Because it's only going to make you bitter, and God cannot work in a bitter heart. Start to trust God that He's actually working all things out for good. Can you do that? I don't care how bad. You need to pray, God, you did something for Naomi, please do it for me too. And then the best thing of all is to accept Jesus' redemption for you. 31 years ago, I realized I owed an awful, awful debt to God. I could never pay it back. You know, God will be willing and most glad to spend an eternity with you if you'll just come home. If you'll just ask Him to save you and make you His child. God wants to do that. I think we've seen an amazing story of a woman who seemed like she'd never be a mother again. But it said there in that verse, it says, where do I miss it? Is it 18 where it says, yes, there is a son born, it's verse 17, born to Naomi. She's a mom again. Would you like to be a mom again? I mean, maybe you got kids, but would you like to be a mom again who's blessed and not cursed? Let's stand, let's bow and pray.